We've been building this week's edition of Eastern Standard. I'm Tom Martin, and here's a preview.
We are going to see far more digital learning in a variety of ways.
What will Kentucky's colleges and universities look like this fall? It's our question for Dr. Aaron Thompson, president of the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education. We know that the pandemic brought about an almost overnight shift from classroom to online instruction.
We're going to continue to do that throughout the summer.
What about the fall term?
All of us are planning to have face-to-face classes this fall.
Tuition and fees play a major role in keeping these institutions running. So what about enrollment?
Things have changed. So, you know, nationally, they're predicting anywhere between a 10 to 20% decrease. Our FAFSA rates are down, as you all know, in this state, about 5 percentage points, and that's not a good indicator. So we're trying to get that up as we speak. But my guess is that we may come in a little short, but I have to tell you, I'm wary of any sort of predictive variables because, you know, I like trend analysis. We have none. First time we've dealt with this.
You'll hear more about the challenges of planning in the face of uncertainty. What can we learn about the pandemic from previous global outbreaks? John Davis, a professor of history at Hopkinsville Community College and author of Russia in the Time of Cholera, tells us pandemics have typically come in waves of three.
The second wave was the most deadly. So this is what our epidemiologists are warning us about.
Putting the coronavirus outbreak in historical perspective. We'll debut another in our growing roster of series, Future Tense. Anthropologist and author Chris Begley peers into a post-pandemic future through the eyes of his guests. His first, award-winning poet Bianca Spriggs. She describes what she hopes to see when we finally talk about this pandemic in the past tense.
I'm hoping that this sort of competitiveness that Americans are so prone to, kind of like colonialist mindset we've all inherited, that pull yourself up by your bootstraps and there is shame in asking for help and there's something wrong with you if you don't have something to show for yourself. I'm really hoping that we're done with that. We're done with that era, that it's okay to help one another. It's okay to ask for help.
The latest in our monthly series on the 19th Amendment, ratified a century ago, legalizing the right of women to vote. Host Kathy Kern talks with UK professor of American and African-American history, Nikki Brown.
Voting rights in 1920 and the work that Black women did to secure voting rights in the 1920s really hasn't changed much in the last century. Much of the work that Black women do now in terms of working on securing voting rights and ending voter suppression, that work also took place in the 1910s and 1920s, although it was a different form or a different shape.
And we put in a call to Pikeville, the Appalachian Center for the Arts, and former Broadway performers Robin Urban and her husband and colleague Eric Buckley. Only a year after opening, operating, and booking a season of theater and entertainment at the center, the stage has gone dark, another casualty of the pandemic.
It's unprecedented what we're facing, what all artists are facing, and all live entertainment and cultural gatherings. It's about that communal experience. And when all the authorities say, nope, you can't gather, then what do you do?
It's all on this week's edition of Eastern Standard, Thursday at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., Sunday at 6 p.m. here on 88.9, and on our mobile app. For Eastern Standard and WEKU, I'm Tom Martin.